We're holding on Mem Gimel on the base. We're basically going to move on now to the Gemara. We saw the Pshat of the Goyim yesterday, right? We saw the Pshat of the Goyim. In terms of the depth of the valley, I do believe with the depth of the valley you can probably also, he didn't spell it out so clearly, but I think you should in theory be able to work out the depth of the valley using trigonometry again. Because what the Meiri does quote, I assume from the Goyim is, you can definitely work out the width of the valley. That's very simple, because all you do is your tube, right? You look through it. Oh, you can see it beyond. So basically, you adjust the angle till you hit the other side. Yeah. So I'm standing at the edge here, and I'm looking over to the other edge here. I hold it azoy. I'm seeing beyond. So I do azoy and I'm looking down into the valley. So I do azoy until I hit the edge there. That's the perfect angle. Secure it, swivel it round, and now look in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Measure it.
And measure it to there, and then you know what the distance across is.
How does that help you for the depth?
No, so one thing. So that's across. The Meiri says that's posher. That part's easy. No? Again, that's what I'm saying.
Don't do it.
From here.
Don't do it for me.
So I'll do it for everyone else. Okay, from
because
here.
I imagine by looking through a tube that it's going to make much difference whether you go up or down.
If you're looking through a tube like this. Yeah, but look.
You're not going to see exactly that distance. You'll either see well beyond it, or that wall won't be visible because it's too far.
No. Again, we're not going with Rashi anymore. This is the Goyim. There's nothing to do with how clear it is and how far you can see, nothing to do with that. It's just simply, if you've got a tube, right, I'm looking through this. So right now, I'm looking through straight through. So what can I see? I can see all the way through, I don't know, to the shoulder, right? Yeah? If I angle it down now, what am I going to see? The table. I do azoy, and I can see, okay, there. No, oh, now I can see Mr. Keller. Right? So if I want to work out the distance to Mr. Keller, in theory, right, so I've got the angle, this is the perfect thing to see to that point. Secure the angle at this height, swivel it around and look through the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. But it won't stop.
In this particular case, there's no gain because I can measure to Mr. Keller as well.
No, but
the valley, I can't because how am I supposed to measure to the other side? I mean, I can't jump across.
But when you swift it round.
Just one second.
What's the point of swiveling it around?
No, so I secure the tripod that's a certain height. That's very important. You can't mess around with any of the other
tripods.
You've got to make
the
constant. Yeah. The height is going to be constant. I'm then going to now just angle the tube.
Yeah, I don't care about that. And what's now, the point of swiveling it around? Why fix it and then swivel it around?
Oh, because now watch what happens. Once I've fixed it, right? Now I swivel it around.
I'm going to
look through and I'm going to tell somebody. Go, keep going. Right, stop. That's as far. Now I'm seeing you through the tube. Put a stick there. That's the point, which I'm. That's the same distance across now. Right. You can measure from here to there, to the stick. I can't measure across the valley because it could be too far across.
But when you're looking at the valley, you don't know because you've hit the wall of the valley. You don't know if that can see beyond that.
I'm not because it doesn't bother me. Again,
when you turn it round. You can't guarantee you're getting the same spot.
You are.
Mapping out a circle.
Correct,
you're
exactly.
A circle.
He actually calls it, he talks about a 360-degree, he calls it pie chart, whatever you want to call it, right? 100%, I thought the same, because what I'm doing is, I'm looking for a specific spot. And that specific spot is exactly the spot where if I angle the tube slightly down, I'm not seeing the edge of the valley, I'm seeing into the valley. If I do it slightly up, I'm seeing beyond the edge. I get it bang on, right? Bang on. Okay, now I know I've got this, I've pinpointed it. Make sure everything stays constant, and now I can work everything out. That's a cross. He says that's posh of the cross. And he says to see down, he makes this point. Obviously, when you're looking down into the valley now, it is going to be conditional on
the elevation.
The valley just goes down at a constant degree. If it starts jutting out, then it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm looking down at an angle, I'm working out the diagonal now, right? But potentially, if I do that, right, then you could, again, you could probably do this in a couple of ways, but assuming, he doesn't spell this all out, but if I'm looking down,
I could probably use Rashi's mechanism to work out the diagonal depth, if I'm using Rashi's one. I'm just thinking, is there any other way you could do it? And then I could complete the triangle and work out the if you were to drop a plumb line.
There are other issues, but you'd also take on board how much you can see. So if you couldn't use the method you were talking about before of a valley to measure a well, because as the deeper you go, you wouldn't be able to get the light. So that would be another issue as well.
No, so that was what I mentioned yesterday. The problem with Rashi is that there are these limitations, lights, and I'm not absolutely sure what he does with these, but again, but across, that's not a problem to get. To get the diagonal, I'm just thinking, is there any way to do it without the I tell you what you could do. Of course you could. What you could do is, no, I'll tell you what you could do, because if I know across, I do the straight down. Right, and I do it. I have to angle it so I get it till it hits the bottom. Right, so then I could create a triangle, a right angle triangle. Measure the angle. Once I've got the angle, I can then work out using trigonometry. I could work out the. you could do that as well. I believe they did definitely have the know-how, but it doesn't quite fit parallel triangles that we're talking about. Okay, but that's already, you can using these sorts of things, one should be able to work out the depth, presumably without having to come onto Rashi. Like you said, with Rashi's Peshat, we do have these questions on it in terms of the amount of light and things like that. Okay, let's move on into the next piece. Nechemya Bereda Rav Chaniloi. So Nechemya, this is Mengimon on the base, 6-7 lines up. Nechemya, son of Rav Chaniloi. Moshachte Shemaita, so his learning drew him out of the Tzuchum. When off at Chutz Tzuchum, he went out of the Tzuchum. In other words, he was completely fatigued in his learning, and he was just walking on Shabbos, and he suddenly found himself, where am I, right? He was outside the Tzuchum. So, Omale Rav Chista Rav Nachman. So Rav Chista said to Rav Nachman, right, Nechemya Talmidcha Shori Betzar. Nechemya, your Talmid is Betzar. He's in pain.
He can't go anywhere. Ramot.
The truth is, I will just point out one thing. I'm just thinking now. What does it mean Shori Betzar?
He has only 4 amot. He can't go anywhere. If he can't go back to his house.
What does the Rambam say about somebody who's Betzar?
Ah, it's a lot of work.
Maybe you can go somewhere.
You could jump.
Are we talking about mental anguish or physical anguish?
I don't think it should really make a difference. You can show him the chamo. I don't know. That was the question at the time. What exactly is the gather? So does he mean he? I don't know. Maybe like you're saying.
He's upset.
Maybe he's not. Maybe on the contrary, he is. You know, he's so happy to be able to keep our halacha on it, right? He's looking on the, but from the outsider's perspective, right? You know, you have to be caring of other people, like, not as they see it, from your perspective. See what
how did
right?
the Talmud know?
I'm explaining it very well.
How did the Talmud know he was out there?
A little worried about
it. No. They are such a musuk, right? They are such a musuk that is, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, one again, from perspective wise, right?
Yeah.
So I always say, you know. I always remember Roy Kubas, somebody tried to help him put on his coat. I'm sure you remember, he didn't like accepting help from anyone. So somebody said to him, they said, put it to mitzvah. So he looked at him and he said, yeah, it's your mitzvah, not my mitzvah. Right? And I know some people have asked, yeah, but why, you know, if they want to do it, I'm just saying that it's such a mussel. Here as well, I am an outsider, I'm concerned for him. He may be very happy because he's able to keep that offer, but I've been caring for him. Maybe he's not a youngster, it's not good for him to be out in the sun, etc.
Yeah, that's slightly different, yeah, okay.
So how does the Talmud know he's out there?
He saw.
You can see him. Well, he's just gone 10 metres outside the Tchum or something.
I don't know. He's got to get quite a lot of people together, it sounds like. But
maybe so he's screaming. He must be that to tough.
Oh, no, it could be he's just sitting there. But he's
screaming for the attention of somebody.
No, Dafka. He's just sitting there now.
No, he could be even happier because now he's quiet. Nobody come around here. He could continue learning to the depth as far as he could go. And
well, it says Shari Bitzad, so he's not happy.
No, they don't, he isn't sad. The one that's seeing it, Rick and his sad. But he could,
no.
He could be in different terms, isn't it?
No.
If he's been walking, if he's making a girl sad, he's learning and he doesn't know where he is.
Well, that's
happened to some rabbi.
That's what I'm thinking. If he's genuinely bizarre and he's screaming out,
Who's Shari Bitzad? Who's Shari Bitzad?
Talmud.
The person that's seeing him.
The Brisker Rov used to say, this is what they say, the Brisker Rov used to say, every midah has its place in Yiddishkeit. Every midah. So he said, do what about Apikorsus? He said, yes, Apikorsus has its place in Yiddishkeit. Apikorsus, how can that be? So he said, I told this before, no? When the Oni comes knocking at the door, right, and you open the door and he gives you his whole life story, whatever, and you're ready to give him a whole drosha about why didn't you get a job, why do you be more responsible, and have emunah and betochen, you may be right. Everything you're absolutely right. Hashem will sort you out. You're absolutely right, but that's from his perspective. That's what the Chovei Talmud says. He'll get his money anyway. Why do you have to shuffle all the way over here? But from your perspective, so the Chovei Talmud is really right. You've got to be an Apikoris, and imagine you are the only one. Your donation is what's going to help him, not Hashem. You.
But why are you an Apikoris in that situation?
It means the middle of Apikoris.
It's not the middle of Apikoris.
What is Apikoris? Apikoris means.
Are you
it's
saying
like, it's not up to Hashem, it's up to me. It means a middle. Of course, I don't come an Apikoris. It means that middle, the character trait. Because to Etzem, if it was me, I'd say, be a mammon. You know, Hashem will provide wherever you are. You don't know.
You're
going
to
have to foolish to think that you've got to go all the way tracing across the world. You're not on the same amount anyway. So go. You need to do a bit of a shtadlus. Do your shtadlus in your local thing. Lead a normal life, and Hashem will provide. Okay, it's a level of don't get me wrong, right? But that's the idea. It says the Chovei Talmud. That's from his perspective, not your perspective. Same idea over here. Shari Bitzad. It's possible that is from my perspective, being caring. I'm saying, I can't bear to see him spending Shabbos out there in these elements. He himself may be very very happy because he's got an opportunity now to keep a halacha.
No, he's only Shari Bitzad because he can see that he's uncomfortable.
Again, so what I asked you is, if he's genuinely uncomfortable.
If you've got an alternative way of dealing with the problem, which is going to come up, then it's a b'di'evet.
Look, to be honest with you, I haven't looked around to see if any. It just occurred to me now. Sorry, but I'm thinking of this or more. We can have a look over Shabbos, see if you find anyone who raises this. How does this square with the Ramah? I'm suggesting one shot. Maybe he wanted to be Machmor himself. So we're looking for a different solution. Could be. And as I said, the Ramah's heter doesn't mean every time person b'tzara. Because most people, if they have to spend Shabbos in four armors, they're going to be b'tzara. Doesn't mean every person just like that. Fine, that's it. Obviously, it doesn't mean that. The question is when yes and when not. So maybe this wasn't enough time. So Omalo, what did Rav Nachman say back to Rav Chista? He said to him, "Asei loy mechitza shal bnei adam, make for him a mechitza of people. The economists and let him come back in that way." Right? In other words, create on either side of him a long line of people, connecting all the way back
it's
to
like
the school.
It's like the Sefer Torah said, you put the
curtain. That's right.
Are not going out of the Tuchum themselves?
Oh, very good. How can the people then get there? The answer is, let's see, I think Rashi is going to say, either they've got an Eruv, which allows them to go that further than he could have gone, or they're coming from a different place.
Or, then one person, two people go out within their four umbers, they're making a mechitza for the next two people to go out within their four umbers. They're making a mechitz for the next two people. It's like a train,
It's a nice idea, but I tell you why. What can anyone tell me why it's not going to work? Beetzem is right. What's the problem?
Because nobody can know the mechitz.
That's right. We haven't seen this yet, but it only works if you don't know about it. The people who are making a mechitza, if they know they're making a mechitza, the whole thing collapses. So what are you going to do when a guy comes along and says, I can't go out?
But how do they not know what they're doing? They're making people to make a mechitza.
Well, how do you do it anyway when
you've
got 10 or 20 people?
Because these people are all, you do exactly what Rafelski did that
way. Okay, that's what
you make. You make a reason for them all to have to go out, and once you've got them all arranged in a certain sequence.
One second, Shnaim Sha'asu Biyahad, Zeno Hayuf.
They know they're making a mechitza. I told them to make a mechitza. I tell you what, there's your second challenge. First one is to do your experiments with the tube. Second one is, what do they call it, one of these social experiments? See if you can get a line of people, and the truth is they've got to be into an area which is out of limits for them without them knowing what they're doing.
You can't.
There you go.
It's like a goy, when you have to ask a goy on Shabbat.
No, but then
you have to do it in a way that he doesn't understand. He does it. That's the same thing. Similar, no? Shana be goy.
A little bit, but not quite. They're here, they're bechal. That's why it's not, the Tosfos are going to say, it'll only work once, it won't work a second time.
Give them a drink of water when it's very hot. You know, that's
Got
it?
So Yosef Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Achorei de Rabbo. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, he was sitting behind Rabbo. The Yosef Rabbo came to Rav Nachman. This is the Gerus that we've got. Tosfos is going to discuss. There could be a different Gerus, but this is the Gerus that we've got. So you got here Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is sitting behind Rabbo, and Rabbo is sitting in front of Rav Nachman. What's going on over there? Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is sitting behind Rabbo, and Rabbo is sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Well, either that sounds like the obvious, or there's a bit of a contradiction there. If you're saying which one's behind, which one's in front, well, if Rav Nachman Yitzchok is behind Rava, then obviously Rava is sitting in front of Rav Nachman. That's pretty obvious, right?
No.
And it doesn't really mean that coming anyway, it means face to face. Well, he's not, because if Rav Nachman Yitzchok is behind him, so Rava's back is to him, so what does it mean coming? Elamai, what's obvious, I'm just trying to prove the point here. Rav Nachman is not Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, they're two different people. That's poshut. There's Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, and there is Rav Nachman's son. And this person, we'll see the Tosfos. Tosfos is going to bring a raya from here that Stam Rav Nachman is not Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos.
Achoreho, behind him.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That he's looking at his back.
Who's looking at whose back?
Well, whoever's sitting behind him.
So Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is looking at Rav's back.
Yes.
Right? Excellent. Right, now carry on.
The Yosef Rav come out in front of Rava,
and Rava is sitting. Kamei. Kamei de Rav. What does that mean?
In front of Rav.
Well, what's Kamei? Throughout Shas. You take it. Wherever it says he's sitting Kamei, what does it mean? Well, with his back to the person.
No, he'll be looking at Rav Nachman.
Ah, so how does that work?
I don't know what.
If Rav Nachman by Yisrael is looking at Rava's back.
No, I didn't say he is. Yeah.
Then how could Rava be looking at Rav Nachman?
Exactly, you can see it.
What do you know? I'm sitting in front of you. You're looking at my back. I'm looking at Mr. Freeman. That makes sense.
Yeah, but if it's on your head,
if I'm sitting with my back to you, I can't be facing you.
Not facing you, but you could say that you're watching.
That's not coming. You want to say he means in front, then it's also ridiculous, because if he's sitting behind you, then of course that's what it means. And that's not what it means. Coming never means that. Elamai, don't worry, this is poshut. This is definitely poshut. Rav Nachman Yitzchok and Rav Nachman are two different people. That's clear. That's not a problem. You know, you've got Rav Nachman Yitzchok, you've got Rav Nachman Yaakov, and that's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. There's many times it comes up in Shas. Each time, make a note. I've got a note at home of different places. Sometimes it seems to support Rashi, sometimes it seems to support Tosfos, and no, I have no Mahalik that can work with both. I don't know how to, right? So Tosfos is adamant one way, Rashi seems to, at least in one place, one or two places, they can get it, seems to suggest the other way. We'll see it, that's Hashem and Tosfos.
What's Rav Nachman got to do with this story then?
Because Rav Nachman was the Rebbe who gave the Psak to Rav Chisda.
So then what Rav Nachman by Yitzchok got to do with the story?
He's somebody who's going to question it. Look, he's about to question it. Let's continue on. So, Amalei Rav Nachman by Yitzchok and Rava. So,
So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to Rava, my coming way, they don't exist. He taps Rav on the shoulder, and Rava turned around and said, yes. He says, what was Rav Chista's question? He watched what happened, right? Rav Chista just came in, yeah? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak is sitting here, in front of his Rava, the Rebbe Rav Nachman is at the front, and he watches as Rav Chista comes running in, out of breath, and he says, Rebbe, Rebbe Rav Nachman, your Talmud, Mechemia, Kishore Bitar, we need to do something about it. Right? So he says, well, what you should do is get a line of Talmidim on both sides, be Ikonis. Fine. And off he goes. Rav Chista goes to do his to do his job. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak sitting at the back, taps Rav on the shoulder, he says, did I miss something there? Right? Because I'm sitting around that. Maybe you've got a better understanding of what's going on. What was the question? What was Rav Chista's problem? This is what he wants to know. Michael Magoya led Rav Chista. What was Rav Chista's problem? What was his question? Ilemo, what was his shayla? Right? If his question was, Bidemonu Gabre Askino, that there's enough people milling around outside the Nehemiah's Tukum, that we can get a full line connecting all the way from where Nehemiah is, all the way back into the Tukum. Bidemonu Gabre Askino, there's plenty of people lined up there, no problem. The Kohen Goyle, in which case his shayla was, Hilchos Tokar Rabban Gamliel, or Ein Halachos Tokar Rabban Gamliel. Does the halacha go like Rabban Gamliel, or does the halacha not go like Rabban Gamliel? Meaning to say, what did Rabban Gamliel say? What did we see in the Mishnah and throughout the sugya? Rabban Gamliel is the one who says that mechitzos work when it comes to hilchos tuchumim. Right? For example, you've got a guy who's dumped by goyim, or he goes out. Let's talk about the case of goyim. He's dumped by goyim in the middle of a field outside the tuchum, only dala damas. But if they dump him in a place where there's mechitzos, then he's got the whole area. Rabban Gamliel is the one who says mechitzos help. They can help in a situation of you've got the whole area to walk.
Here
as well, if you pass on Rabban Gamliel, it's going to work. He's only got Daladamas. Yeah, but we just created mechitzos on both sides. So he can walk the whole distance. And once he reaches the tchum, excellent. Once he's back inside the tchum, he can now walk throughout the whole tchum, throughout Shabbos now. Right? In Halacha Rabban Gamliel, which is the shayla was, did we pass on Rabban Gamliel or not? That's the shayla? Was that his question?
Well, not really, because he's a paskining like Rabban Gamliel.
So that's Rabban Nachman's answer. But he's not going to like this. We'll see. If that's his question, well then that's a bit funny. Doesn't know the Halacha Rabban Gamliel. Okay, but let's see, right? He wants to know, I'm just trying to understand, was that his shayla? A dilemma perhaps. But the Rabban Gamliel scheme we're dealing with, there's not enough people to create mechitzos on both sides. The Kami Goya then, the Shaida is Halacha Rabbi Eliezer, Oyin Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Is Halacha like Rabbi Eliezer or not? Now what this Rabbi Eliezer is, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that if a person goes outside of his Tuchum, right, so long as you realize very, very quickly, in other words, you realize when you're still within two amas of your Tuchum, then you can quickly step back in, right? We give you that extra two amas, you can get back in. But if you go beyond that, that's when you're in trouble. Now the Chachomim, they disagree with that. They say, if you go beyond the Tchum, you've gone beyond the Tchum. Finished. Well, where'd you get an extra two amas from? Now, if that's the case,
because the measurement
will now be, no, but the Shaila will be, the Shaila will be like this, that we don't have enough people to create a mechitza to get him all the way back into the Tchum. But we have enough people to create a mechitza on either side that will get him within two amas of the Tchum. So now the question was, do we pass on Rabbi Eliezer, then it will work?
The Rav has already said that we should never make the Tuchum 2,000 meters exactly. We should always make the Tuchum slightly less. Because you're worried you don't have, you may be going
okay. When it comes
they would have done that.
Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, that's still to come. That is still to come later on in the Masechta when it talks about how they actually measure it. Are there extra bits? There are cheshbonos. Rashi's got a cheshbon there. There is a little bit of a buffer there. But the pashtus is for the time being. When they measure the tchum, they do it exactly. It's given with ropes, and it's a certain type of rope, and it's done where a certain length of rope, etc. So it is a relatively exact science. Lemaisa, Rashi's got a cheshbon where, like you're saying, there is a small buffer. And therefore Rashi does have a cheshbon why you get an extra bit. Okay, we'll see if that connects to Rabbi Eliezer later on, right? Because the people who are holding the ropes, and if we don't take that into account, that's two hand breaths. Rashi's got a whole cheshbon later on. Yeah?
But for the time being, whatever pshat of Rabbi Eliezer is, that is the shit of Rabbi Eliezer. So now, which one was it? So to that, the Gemara says, Keshita, it is obvious, v'delo molu gavre askino. There must be, there weren't enough people to form the mechitzas. And therefore the shaila was, is it good enough to get him within two amos or not? The isal kodaitach v'demolu gavre askino. Because if you think that we're talking about Rabbi Omendala, through four lines down, if you think that the Modu Gavre Askino, we're dealing with a case where there are enough people to actually get him all the way to the Tchum, then Maite Boyle, what's the Shaila? What's the Shaila? Ha'omar Rav, surely Rav said, Halacha Karabim Gambiel, Halacha Karabim Gambiel, Bedir, Besahar, Rasvina, in all the cases. So we know that we pass Karabim Gambiel, right? Now this was one of the riots, by the way, that the Rishonim brought on the Mengimel Omed Adar, when we had that whole thing about how do we actually paskin. Rav said we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel throughout. Shmuel said no, only in the case of the ship. Yeah. And then we had that brisa where Hananya, right, then Achi Rabbi Yeshua, he brings the hachro of Rabbi Yeshua, the uncle, that he paskin essentially like Shmuel, right? In other words, only like Rabbi Gamliel with a ship. So the whole question was, well, we've got the rule Rabbi Shmuel and Halacha Karab Isuris, we should pass him like Rab. On the other hand, if I've got a brisa which is Machriah, seems to tip the scales, call it like Shmuel, so we should go like that. So there's a whole Machlix Rishonim whether we actually paskin like Rab or Shmuel. Most Rishonim, and that's the way we do paskin like Rab. And one of the riots to that is because you've got a Stam Gemara here which takes on like as if it's poshut. The Halacha that I'm going, it's not poshut, Shmuel disagreed. Elamai, you see the final halacha did follow Rav, and therefore it goes like Rav and Gamliel, Bedir, Sahar, Usfina, and therefore here as well. There wouldn't have been a Shaila. Why would Rav Chisna have not known about that? Elamai, it must be that we're talking about Elavadai Rav, it must be with the Remodu Gabri Askino, we don't have enough people to get the Mechitzas all the way up to the Tzkum, with the Rabbi Eliezer, Komi Boyere, and the Shaila was regarding Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara de Konami is also very meduyik. That was the Shaila. The Ka'omali, and that you could be meduyik that from the response of Rav Nachman to Rav Chista. He said to him, "Yeah, yikonit." He said to him, "Make the mechitzas, the yikonit, and then he'll be able to come in." My yikonit. What does that mean, yikonit? Make the mechitzas and finish. What's yikonit? The answer is lav below mechitzas. Surely it means without the mechitzas. In other words, make the mechitzas. That'll get him within two, the Yikonis, and then the last two armors he'll be able to walk in himself. Otherwise, he only say the word the Yikonis. It's obvious. He'll walk all the way and he's back in the middle of Kimadar at all. No, the Yikonis means he'll be able to actually get back in, even though the other
members. If these Talmidim are not going outside their Tachon, so they're within the Erev, then why can't two Talmidim escort him in? Side, on both sides, keep walking with him.
So basically, what you're asking is something else, and that is, if you don't have enough people, so just form a mechitza and then get the last ones to come round and keep the mechitza moving that way.
Yeah.
And the answer is?
Yeah, real problems.
You're going to have to keep it a secret, right?
I've been one of these. You got more chances of telling two Tamidim to go out and escort him back in, and not realizing it's from Mechitza. I don't think two would be enough.
All right, whatever. Speaking, but yeah, the number.
Right, there's much more chance of them. You know, this is their Rebbe. Go and bring him in. They'll do it automatically. And how can they not know they're making Mechitza here when he's stuck outside his Tachon?
What
do they think they're doing here? When they're making this line, what do they think they're doing here, these Tamidim?
What do they think? They're lining up, waiting to be Makabel, the Bob of 45 Rebbe who's just come to London. Right? I don't know.
The story is from Rafelski.
So Rafelski was Taka moving Mechitza. So that's more like he's saying. Rafelski did it very cleverly.
Yeah, but he did it cleverly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did it cleverly. No, so you could have said. See, that's the problem. The Chemia could have done it. He could have said, I've got a shtickle Torah. You want to hear what I've just been machadish, right? You've got to get everyone down. But he made, like I said to you before, and he made me quite happy. He was, like somebody said, he's got peace and quiet there. He's loving. So he's not the one who's got the problem here. Could be.
And what will he think he's doing when he's walking through these tell me then.
After you set everything up, he may decide he's not.
Because Rabelski was carrying, though, wasn't it?
I think Rabelski was something
in the fourth line. A little bit easier. Second one plays.
Could be. There's a
the person walking through the machizas knows that the machizas is there.
Oh yeah.
It's only the people who are forming the machizas
Is it anything to do with the hamokum at the baya where we make two lines?
No.
What's the Indian in that then?
That's just because the one the Gemara says may cost them a sucking. Where three different takonas, whether the Odo does the walking and the Menachemin stands still, or the other way around. And what the practice, what the accepted practice eventually was that the.
So we're not making a mechitza for them?
No. I don't know, maybe you can come up with some mashal and put it in your sefer, maybe there is something in it, but I'm saying that's not, I'm not a pialot. Maybe there is. I don't know, maybe he's right. Perhaps you're protecting him because of the Ibetan for the Gemara says that for the first assembly, the first month, etc., that it's a sarcoma for the. It's not right, but the family. Maybe you're like symbolizing protecting the machis, which we, you know, we feel for you. And maybe nice
human machis.
Do they know about it? No, I don't think anyone's ever thought that way. So maybe it does. You know, but don't tell anyone then. Don't publish your own. Okay, says Rashi over here. The Demolu Gabri, so it's Mengimel of the day, the last six lines of the page, but in Rashi, the Demolu Gabri, Shehoyu, Lo Anoshim Habi, they have plenty of people, Shehoyu, Lo Anoshim Habi, they have plenty of people, who are able to go outside of Tchum, Kigoyen Sheirbu, Lo Anoshim Habi, Lo Mechito, Kigoyen Sheirbu, you want to know how they managed to get out, the answer is they had an Eru. But elsewhere we said as well, another possibility is they were coming from a different place. Either way, there's plenty of people who can get out there to where he is.
And they don't need, they're not outside yet.
Oh, exactly. The last is though mechitza mekan, we can therefore make a mechitza of him on either side. Mimokim shushon, from the place where he is right now, at al tchum, back to the tchum. In which case, then the shayla would have been halacha ka Rabban Gamliel, is halacha that Rabban Gamliel, the lehanu le mechitzas, in order that the mechitzas can work for him. Shelo shalas b'ayim megoladiyim, despite the fact that he didn't start Shabbos inside his mechitzas, they still work. Kedoma the el gabi deir asar, like Rabban Gamliel said in the case of the deer and the sahar, the enclosures. A dim or perhaps Peshita day, it's obvious then that after Rabban Gamliel. Of course, that after Rabban Gamliel. The Hocho, he was a Moluli Gabri. But over here, the problem was they didn't have enough people, Ad Tochat Tchum, to bring him all the way back to the actual Tchum. And Ad Beis Amis Samachit Tchum, they had enough people just to form the Chitzis to get him up to two others next to the Tchum. Almost, but not quite, in other words, there. Tobu Mendalad Omanadab, says Rashi, the common Goyer, in which case then the Shaila would have been, Halacha Gabriyeza, is Halacha Gabriyeza, the Omar Vemas Nisim. Who says in our Mishnah, not here, but come early, it's on and done based on the day, says the Bach points out, Mishi also chos v'tchum, somebody who's gone outside the tchum, shtei amus, if it's only two amus he's gone out, two or less amus, yikonis, he's allowed to come back in. So we said, must be that the second option is the correct one. In other words, of course, he knew that Allah Zarah Mugamliel, because Rav's already passing that, that's obvious. Rather, the Shaila was whether we pass that to Rabbi Eliezer, because that is not so obvious. Dekonami, and we said it's also Meduyok, that was the Shaila, meaning to say, it was a case where there weren't enough people to form the Mechitzas all the way back to the Tchum. So Omer Rav Nachman, the fact that Rav Nachman said to him, Aselo Mechitzah Shemini Odom, he said to Rav Chista, make a Mechitzah of people, Ve'yikonis, and then he will be able to re-enter. Lomele the Meme, Yikonis, why did he have to add Yikonis? And Hochikomer, this is what he's saying. Asei ha-mechitza ad hashtayim, make the mechitza up to the two amas next to the tchum, ve'achakach, and then after that, yikonis u'miatmoi, he'll be able to get back in himself, but no mechitza without the mechitza. Yeah? Straightforward? Yeah? Says Tosfos, we've got 2-3 minutes, let's just see if we can make stuff on the Tosfos this. Yotiv Rav Nachman ba'yitfok achirei v'robo, v'yotiv robo kamid Rav Nachman. So we have this setup, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is sitting behind Rava, and Rava sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Sounds like they're two different people. So it says Tosfos, Hocha over here, Mashma, it is Mashma, that Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Lav Hainu Rav Nachman's done. But when you find in the Gemara Rav Nachman without any mention of his father, that's not Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Because here you've got Rav Nachman's done, and you've got Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, they're not the same person. V'chein b'chama b'komos, and so too in many places, Udalon Pirashakontras, not like Rashi explains, the so perakolaget, at the end of perakolaget, The Kamar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Rav Nachman Yitzchak said over there, Ano lo tzarich no lehu. I don't need them. I don't need these, I think it's the people of the Reish Kulusa. I don't need them. And he says, yeah, Pirish Lebe Reish Kulusa. I don't need them. Why didn't he need the protexia, you know, with the Reish Kulusa? The answer is, the Pirish HaKud, Rashi explains, Hossam over there, Mishum Dabi Chasson Asher Reish Kulusa. I don't need them because I'm the son of the Reish Kulusa himself. Right? That's what Rashi says. So Rav Nachman Stam Havi Chasson Asher Reish Kulusa. Why? Because we know Stam Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Reish Kulusa. As is Mukach in the Gemara, if you take a look in Churin over there, you'll see it's over there. So, since the Tosfos, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is speaking in Gittin, he is not the son-in-law, not like Rashi. Rashi says over there, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says, I don't need the Reish Kulusa, why? Because I'm his son-in-law. No, you're not. Rav Nachman Stam is the son-in-law. Now, Rashi holds that Rav Nachman Stam is Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. That's Rashi's Shiva. The Tosfos says, you see from here, that's not true. There's Rav Nachman Stam. So why did he say I don't need him? The answer is Mishum to Osher Hoya, because he was a rich man. Right? Yeah, Rav Nachman was rich. Yeah. Where Rav Nachman Stam, who Rav Nachman by Yaakov, Rav Nachman Stam is Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So Rav Nachman Stam Hoya Chaveri de Rav Shesha. So we know Rav Nachman Stam was a contemporary of Rav Shesha. Well, we Yerushalmi Mukach, and Yerushalmi it's Mukach. The Rav Nachman by Yaakov by Yochavir is the Rav Sheshes, he was the friend. So we put the two together. Rav Nachman Stam is contemporary of Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman by Yaakov is the friend of Rav Sheshes, must be the same person. The Gam Rishum Okan Vashas, also in any place in Shas, in a mask of the period of Rav Nachman by Yaakov, doesn't mention explicitly Rav Nachman by Yaakov, and it is Rav Nachman by Rav Sheshes, only by Rav Nachman by Rav Chitta or Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. So you can see that obviously he must be Rav Nachman Stam. Again, it was a little bit quick, I just want to end with. Shaltiel gave me a sheet this morning. We're talking about Osher here, right? So therefore, I didn't need the Reish Kulusa. Yeah, there's one of my Magid said that Baron Rothschild once came. I'll tell you very quickly. He once came to a town in the morning, and he said, where can I find the shachris? They told him 7 o'clock wherever he is. He comes into the place, and they said, 7 o'clock. Everyone's standing there waiting. He said, what's everyone waiting for? The local give in. The local right. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour he comes in, right? Rothschild was speaking. Of course, the way the guy comes in as well, the kitzur, it's a Monday, Thursday, I'll stand out here. Rothschild, he didn't know who it was, though. He comes out and he makes a Misha Berach after this, Babushi, and he says, everything this guy's worth, I'll donate. The kitzur, they run over, there's a bit more to the story, but they run over to the chap and they say, how much are you worth? No, I don't disclose this. And he wouldn't tell them, they're saying, but we're going to lose all this money. Rothschild says, leave it to me. The kids, I've got people who can check their accounts. I go to my accountant. The kids will check me. He's not worth a penny. The whole thing was one big hot air. Talking about Korach, what riches can do to a person can bring them down. Have a good chance.